I appreciate the good singing today. I love that song we just finished. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. How many of you can relate to that today? Times that you have gone to the Lord with a heavy burden, something that you just felt like you just couldn't carry, and you take it to the Lord and you cast your care upon Him, and God gives you that sweet relief. What a feeling that is, to come away knowing that, well, with the help of the Lord, I can overcome this. I know this, that anybody that's ever been saved has experienced that at least once. At least once. What a peace that the Lord is able to give. Brother Wheat. Amen. Man.
That's the first verse, and then there's 26 verses that follow after that that tell why we should be giving thanks unto the Lord. In the 23rd verse of that 135th division of the book of Psalms says, "For He remembered me in my low estate."
Amen. Amen.
Life is short.
Amen.
It's been such a surprise to me how short a 70 years is. It's just a little while. And we'll have to say goodbye. We'll say goodbye to the state that we are found in. Thankful for my church. I have such a great love.
Amen. 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 Bless you, Brother Wheat. Appreciate that. I want to share some scripture with you now from the 27th Psalm. If you would like to read with me, please turn to Psalm 27, and we'll begin reading with the first verse. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Those are the verses I wanted to read, the first 10 verses of the 27th Psalm for my scripture reading today. My title this morning will be Strength for the Journey. When we read the Psalms, and I know and understand that not all the Psalms are attributed to David, but when we read those Psalms that are, and I think about David, what he had been in his life, David, like most people will do throughout their life, he did various things. There was a time that we read about David at a young age when he was a shepherd. And I'm sure that no doubt that came into play and came into his thoughts when he wrote the beautiful words there that we find in the 23rd Psalm when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." David knew about what it took to tend to a natural flock of sheep. And he, speaking of the spiritual sheep and him being one of them, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's certainly true for all of us who have been saved. David was a king. He certainly was a king. The scriptures tell us that David was a king for 40 years. 33 of those years he reigned in Jerusalem, 7 of those years he reigned in Hebron. But David was a king. But among those things, David was also a soldier. David knew war in his life. Not only was he a soldier, but he was also the commander for a time of the army of Israel. And when I think about this psalm and the things that David said in this psalm, that seems to be the way I think of him, as being a soldier, being someone that was accustomed to being engaged in battle. And we know that when we read about the life of David, we know that when he was just a young man, that he was a fighter then. He went out to do battle with the giant Goliath. And so David understood that and knew what it meant in his life to serve in a military position and to be a soldier. And in these verses, and always think about this, that David knew when he was on the battlefield, whether he was fighting himself or like he fought against Goliath, if he was the one that was actually engaged in the physical combat himself, or when he was leading as a king and as a commander-in-chief, as he was leading the army of Israel in that way, I believe David realized that their success as an army And the things that they were able to accomplish didn't come about by their own power or by their own strength. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And it was with that view in mind of the Lord being his strength that David made the statements, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come up against me to eat my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Remember reading about the time that Syria and Israel were at war, and it was discovered that by the king of Syria that Elisha the prophet was making things difficult for the Syrian army, and so he set out. It was told to him that Elisha was in Dothan, in the city of Dothan. And so the Syrian king sent his army, the Syrian army, and at night they surrounded that city. And Elisha's servant, when he went out, he saw them. In the morning he went out and he saw them, and he saw that through the night the Syrian army had surrounded that city, and he saw their horsemen and their chariots around the city, and he was afraid. And Elisha prayed for him that God would open his eyes, that God would open this young man's eyes. I think sometimes that's what you and I need. We need our eyes opened. And so And certainly we know that there wasn't anything wrong with Elisha's, with his servant, with his physical sight, because the Bible had already told us that he saw the Syrian army. Elisha wasn't praying for his natural eyes to be opened, but his spiritual eyes. And so God granted that and opened his eyes, and he saw the heavenly host around them. He saw God's army protecting them. And folks, I've got to tell you today, when you're in the hands of God, you couldn't be in better hands. You just couldn't be more protected than you are when you're protected by God. And so that's where David's hope was, and that's where his faith was, and not in himself, not in the military power that Israel had, but in the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And honestly, if you read throughout the Old Testament, if you read the history of the army of Israel, if you read about their battles, the only time that they were ever victors, the only time that the army of Israel ever did any good in their battles was when the Lord was with them. You can read about times that the Lord wasn't with them because he was angry at them for things that they had done. In fact, you can even read there when they went out to face the army of Ai, that God even told them not to go. He was angry with them over what had transpired among them. And he told them, don't go and fight these men, but they did. And they were whipped. They were beaten by a much smaller army than what they were. I'll tell you what, if God is not with us, we're not going to get anything done. But God, when God is with us, well, we can just let Paul, we'll just quote Paul, he said it best, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. There's nobody that can win against God. And so, again, David acknowledged in this and realized in this that it truly was the Lord that was the strength of his life. Now, I want to talk about life here for just a moment. And there are two things that I want to look at, because I have a great appreciation for those who, through the help of God, can stand strong in the right in the midst of what when their life just seems to be falling down around them, that they can stand strong by the help of God and be a witness to other people. And I believe we've seen people right here at our church that have accomplished that through the help of God. But, you know, there are people also in the world today, and many of them speak about it as positive thinking. You know, the positive thinkers. And I think there's a difference. I do. I believe there's a drastic difference in those that take courage in the Lord and are able to display the strength that God gives them than those who, through what they call positive thinking, just go around all the time and act like nothing's ever wrong. If you say that nothing's ever wrong, you're not being honest, because life's just not like that, is it? Life is just not like that. There are things that we face. There are things that trouble us. Jesus Christ himself told us that we would have trouble in the world. You shall have tribulation, and we will have it. Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so if we act like that nothing is ever wrong in life, that there's nothing that ever bothers us or nothing bad that ever comes, we're not being honest. In fact, we are not even being honest. We're not being honest in the light of Scripture, because the Bible tells us that these things will come upon us. Friends, we're going to have problems, aren't we? We're going to have our share of troubles. We're going to have those times in life when we are going to need someone stronger than us. Where do you turn? Many people in the world, and you know, somebody asked me this question the other day. And I can't really honestly right now. Oh yeah, I remember who it was. It was Brother Edwin when I was visiting with him and Elise. And before I left, he asked me this question. We were standing right there at his door, and he said, "Brother Miller, how do people get by in life without the Lord?" And I told him, I said, "Edwin, that's a question I've never been able to answer. I really don't know. I think that somehow they must grab a hold of some type of false hope, because I'm here to tell you today, I am dependent upon him. I have got to have him." And there have been many times for me in life, had it not been for the Lord, I don't know what I would have done. Can you relate to that? I mean, I don't know where I would have turned. I don't know where I would have went to for hope and for strength. And I'll tell you, I believe sometimes that we bring undue worry, undue anxiety, undue depression perhaps even, up on ourselves at times, because we fail to cast our cares upon the Lord. I'm afraid sometimes we're overcome with this feeling of self-sufficiency, this feeling within us of a desire to be strong and to not let somebody see us being weak. And because of that, we trust in ourselves. And listen, if you're trusting in yourselves, life and the problems that come upon you are going to overtake you. I guarantee you that they will. They'll overtake you. You're not going to be sufficient for them. And not only that, but when we do not cast our cares upon the Lord, then we are, and when we are trying in that way to be strong in ourselves, that does not please the Lord. Because you know what? He wants us to depend upon Him. God wants His children to have a dependency upon Him. He doesn't want us to be independent. He doesn't want us to feel strong in ourselves. Does God want us as Christians to mature? Well, sure He does. He wants us to grow from babes to mature Christians. He wants us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. God would have us to learn more about His Word. God would have us to learn more about Him. But I'll tell you something that God doesn't want. He never wants us to grow to the point that we feel that we're sufficient of ourselves. He wants us to depend upon Him. Consider this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. And Paul was speaking there primarily about the ministry, but I certainly think this holds true to all of us in our Christian walk. Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves as to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I'll tell you what, friends, listen, when the storms of life begin to rage, when the battle gets heated, when the troubles come upon you, and you begin to reach that point where you feel like, I'm just not sufficient for these things. I don't have it in myself to overcome these things. If you want to be an overcomer, if you want to be a victor, let me guide you in this direction. You just take those things to the Lord. You take them and lay them down at His feet. You do exactly what the Bible says do. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. If you want to always be worried about something, if you want to always be anxious about something, if you want to drive yourself crazy in your mind, just wondering day after day, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to make it? Whatever that it is, whatever that the problem may be, if you want to drive yourself crazy with worry, then you just trust in your own strength, and that's exactly what will end up happening. But if you want peace, if you want consolation, if you want comfort, then take it to the Lord and lay it down at His feet and leave it there. And God can give you peace. You see, I believe that He can help you and I as His children. I'm convinced that God can help us through anything. Anything. He's helped me many times in life. Has He not helped you? Sure He has. We could take a lot of time today if we all wanted to share our testimony and share our experience. I know that we could take up a lot of time here telling about how that God has helped us to make it through different situations. You know, I believe that's what dispels, I know it is for me anyway, that's what dispels any fear of death, because I'm confident as I stand before you today, I'm absolutely confident that when my dying hour comes, that God is going to be there, that God is going to help me to make the crossing, and I want to die. I really do. I want to die in a way that God will be honored, in a way that He'll be pleased. And I believe that's only through His strength and His help that we can do these things. Ephesians chapter 3. The Bible says a lot about strength, and I just made note of a few verses to share with you today. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And I believe that in most cases, that's where God gives us strength. He gives us inner strength. Can God strengthen us physically? Well, absolutely he can. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But Paul's desire when he wrote to the Ephesians was that they would be strengthened by God's might and by his Spirit in the inner man. That God would give them strength of soul. In Philippians, Paul was a big believer in this, obviously. He wrote about it in many of his epistles. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, most of you can probably quote this. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Which what? Which strengtheneth me. What can we do without him? Nothing. Isn't that what Jesus said to his disciples? Without me, you can do nothing. But Paul said, with Christ, I can do all things because he gives me the strength to be able to do it. Christ, Jesus Christ himself, even when he was here in the flesh, when he was here in a human body, when he was getting ready to face the crucifixion, Christ even began to pray for strength. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, that there appeared unto him an angel from heaven and did what? Strengthening him. Giving him the strength that he needed. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, that is their love for God. Paul was saying, from the day that we heard of your love through the Spirit, he said, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Friends, we will falter and fail without him. I think what Jesus was really saying, essentially, when he told his disciples, without me you can do nothing. You know what I believe he was mainly saying? Without me you won't accomplish any good. Because I'll tell you what we can do without the Lord's help. We can make a mess of things, can't we? I mean, by our own evil intentions and own evil capabilities, we can sure make a mess of things outside of the help of the Lord. But without him, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to accomplish anything that's any good without the help and the strength of the Lord. I thought about this when I studied this. I thought about Samson at the end of his life. You know, Samson was a strong man. He was. Physically, he was a strong man. There were times when God helped him, and Samson did things physical that otherwise would be an impossibility. I've seen some pretty, I've seen men in my life that physically were pretty powerful men, but a man just can't whip a lion. I mean, you just can't do that. And if you read about the time in Samson's life when he did that, you'll find that the Spirit of God came upon him and enabled him to do that. So God gave him the strength that was even displayed oftentimes in great physical things that he did. But I think about at the end of his life, and Samson certainly did some things that were wrong. But at the end of his life, I think about how that the Philistines had him there, and they had put out both of his eyes, and they had him there the Bible says, to make sport of him. They brought him in there just for some type of entertainment, just so he might amuse them in some way. And they had him there between two pillars there that supported the house that they were in. And they were just going to make fun of him and make sport of him. But you know what happened to those Philistines? Samson turned to the Lord. He turned to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when he did that, they were in trouble. They were in trouble. In Judges chapter 16, verse 28, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And so Samson, in that weakened condition, his eyes poked out. He was subdued, and in that weakened condition, he lifted his spiritual eyes toward God, and he began to ask God to give him strength. And God granted that. And Solomon pulled on those pillars and brought the house down. Now, folks, he brought the house down literally. He brought the house down. And the Bible tells us that Solomon, in his death, he slew more in his death than he ever, or Samson, if I said that wrong, he slew more at his death than he ever did in his life. He finished good, didn't he? Wouldn't you like to finish the battle strong? I mean, I know that if we live long enough, that the things spoken in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 begin to happen, don't they? The body begins to weaken. But I'll tell you what, friends, as long as we've got breath in this body, I believe we can serve the Lord. It's wonderful if we can finish strong. You know what? People may reach the point where they're not even able, they're not even physically able to come to church anymore. But wherever they're at, they can finish their course strong by the strength of the Lord, the strength that God is able to give. I've heard too many, either heard or heard of, too many deathbed testimonies not to believe that, where people about to take their last breath were rejoicing and praising God and giving God honor and giving God glory. God, and that's what I wanted to come here today and say to you, to encourage you, because there are things that we're going to face. And I want to encourage you in that today, that, listen, if you'll turn to the Lord, I can say this to you today, not only by sharing these scriptures, but by personal experience. If you will turn to the Lord and trust Him and acknowledge, as the third proverb tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. If you'll cast your cares upon the Lord, I mean really lay it down at His feet and leave it there, God will give you the strength. He'll give you the strength that you need. If God brings you to it, He can absolutely bring you through it. And so look to the Lord for strength. Be like David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And when He is, when we allow Him to be that, we don't have anything to be afraid of. We have nothing to fear. If God is for us, nobody can. can be against us. So I appreciate your attention today, and we're going to go ahead and proceed with the baptism. I'd like to ask Brother Billy Joe if he would come up, and Brother Ronnie, if